Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. If you have called in to listen to this morning's broadcast, please note that all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you are joining us from either the Bright Dawn Ning site or the Blog Talk Radio site, please note that it is not necessary to call in. If you are experiencing loss of audio or the Blog Talk Radio player is not working properly, please refresh your page and hit the play button once more. It may take a few moments for your browser to complete the buffering process. Once again, welcome to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the broadcast.
Welcome everyone to Sunday Morning Live Dharma. This is Reverend Koyo Kobose, and I'd like to start out with a talk story, personal sharing. And this is about an experience I had some years ago attending a retreat. And it introduces several topics that you might find of interest and that might add something to your learning base. This retreat was sponsored by Los Angeles Inter-Buddhist groups in Southern California, and also the Catholic diocese. And there was about maybe 60 people attending this retreat, and they consisted of about 30 Buddhist Catholic pairs from different places in the country. One Catholic father and one Buddhist priest from different dioceses in different cities. So, Reverend Father Andy Luzak and I represented Chicago Diocese, and we went out to California at the Sarah Center, which is located in Malibu. It's a Franciscan retreat center located on a hill about a half a mile in from the Pacific Ocean. And from their guest book, you could see that a lot of marriage enhancement retreats were held there, sponsored by different churches. And it was a nice facility. They had a cafeteria, nice grounds, small center, a dormitory, very small Spartan rooms for one person. And but it was in Malibu, and it had a prime location. You looked all around, you could see the surrounding area. You could see the Pacific Ocean to the west. One of the monks gives a little tour, and he also said, Dick Van Dyke lives there, Mel Gibson lives over here, and so forth. And we had the program, they had different speakers. One interesting exchange took place. When one of the Catholic fathers said that for him, the Bodhisattva idea in Buddhism, he sees that as the same as the Holy Spirit in his tradition. And as a Catholic, which Catholic, the word Catholic means universal. And so it's all over. He sees, as a Catholic, he sees the Holy Spirit in action all over. When he sees trees or birds flying around, he said, that's the Holy Spirit. And I said, that's also the Bodhisattva aspect in Buddhism. And there was one Catholic nun who took exception to his interpretation of saying that the Buddhist Bodhisattva aspect was like the Holy Spirit. I guess she was being sort of super sensitive or defensive of, and she said if she thought that maybe we Buddhists were offended by the Catholic father sort of co-opting or reinterpreting a Buddhist concept of Bodhisattva and saying, well, that is the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't feel offended, and I don't think Buddhists did, because this was the Catholic father expressing his opinion of things as a Catholic. But I guess the nun's point was that you should let another religion's ideas stand on their own and not try to take in and make relabel everything. Oh, well, this is, Catholic. I don't know if he meant it in that exactly way, but she interpreted it that way. She was saying, she was kind of a earthy, down-to-earth, plain-spoken nun, as some of them are. And, in fact, her language was, she said, gee, I, that's not right to say that, you know. I bet some of the Buddhists are saying to themselves, you know, what the f... and made everybody laugh. And I was thinking of that phrase, you know, it kind of sticks in your mind. You know, sort of like, what the heck is going on here? What the heck? And I relate this to another aspect of my experience there. Was when we first met, we stayed there for the weekend. The first night, the evening, was a social mixer. And people had a name tag on with just their name. It might have said where they came from, but it did not state their affiliation. And as you talk to people, I found myself wondering if the person I was talking to was a Buddhist or a Catholic. And as it turns out, there were some Asian Catholics, and of course, there were some Caucasian Buddhists. And I consider myself a very liberal person. And yet, I was trying to sort of sort out them and us. Not in any discriminatory way, but sort of, just wanting to know who you're talking to. Want to put a label on them, see what box they're in. And that night, later that night, when I was back in my room by myself and going to sleep, lying down, lights were out, and then it struck me, what was I doing? Engaging in that kind of behavior. I consider myself a liberal, and yet I could not relate to someone as a human being, as an individual. I automatically, naturally tried to have to put a label on them, And so I sort of shouted out silently to myself, kind of berating myself, saying, "What the f am I doing?" So that's one thing I learned. No matter how liberal you are, you don't know what kind of circumstances or when something might pop up, that you still got a lot of growing and learning and becoming aware and sensitivity to do. Don't become so smug, Another interesting exchange took place when one of the local Buddhist monk, Caucasian Buddhist monk, young man from Los Angeles area, International Meditation Center in Los Angeles was his affiliation, and he was given a presentation about his experiences with talking to campus students on the local colleges. And after one presentation, a young lady said to him that, "Oh, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to burn in hell." And this monk said he thought about that, and then he replied, "Well, I guess hell is a good place for a Buddhist monk to be, because that's where a lot of people are suffering." I think that raises an interesting aspect. You think that hell is a bad place, but that's where the compassion is needed. Or Shinran, I think Shin Buddha said, "Hell is my only home." If you think you're so lofty and good and that you deserve to be in heaven, where's your compassion for those who strayed? Is it totally their own fault? Was it at least partly due to the circumstances or other factors in their life and their destiny? They didn't earn to go to heaven and be happy. This whole Protestant ethic, this whole, I guess, St. Paul started the idea of, well, if in this life, if you're do good, then you get rewarded and go to heaven. If you do bad, and you go to hell and you get punished. Okay? So ethics and morals in this life is tied to reward or punishment in the afterlife as a powerful tool to motivate people, to create fear, motivate by rewards and by fear. And maybe Christianity is not the only religion to utilize these kinds of tools. And yet, I think there's an emphasis saying, oh, we're chosen, we did good, so we're chosen, and we get the rewards. Ah. Is there any concern for the unfortunate or the fallen? Any compassion there, or just like everyone takes care of yourself kind of idea? And another Buddhist minister, I remember, made the comment that, yeah, you know, speaking to Christians, he says, you know, if you're so fortunate as to go to heaven and receive God's love, why stay there? Why not take God's love and go to where people are suffering and share it? That is, go down to hell. Take God's love that you received and go down to hell, you know. So it's sort of the same point. And these points impressed me. And sometimes when I talk interfaith to Christian groups, trying to express the Buddhist perspective on things, and also perhaps to give them some challenge or stimulation for their own growth and broaden them. And I said, well, and then put a little humor into it too. I said, well, that's why, to my good Christian friends, emphasis on good, the good ones, you know, the ones that will go to heaven and so forth. My advice is, go to hell. And I guess it's for Christians a powerful statement. Go to hell, you know. But out of compassion, you know. Having arrived the promised land, go to heaven and receive God's love, and go to hell, you know. Well, okay. I'm told usually we have a guest, and we had a guest scheduled for a Dharma glimpse, but I guess scheduling conflicts happened, and he's not available. So, gosh, you're stuck with me. What I could do is continue on this sort of topic, I guess, of heaven and hell, afterlife and God. And I describe sometimes the context in which I experience things, because to me, when you hear somebody's experiences, the context, I hope it has a little more impact than just lecturing about a topic. You know, it's sort of, I thought maybe it's sort of similar to when you see a movie. This is based upon a true story, you know. It puts some life, you know, it happened, it's an experience, and not just a lecture on a topic. And here I used to participate in a Living Buddha, Living Christ service at Lake Street Church in Evanston, Illinois. Reverend Bob Thompson was the pastor there, and this is a very liberal church, and he was very experienced in Eastern religions and so forth, but more important, he was I guess what Jewish would call him, a mensch. He was a human, very down-to-earth human being. And this was a very unusual service in that, because usually when you have a interfaith event or a Buddhist-Christian event, it's being sponsored by one or the other. And whereas this one, it was sort of jointly sponsored. And there were Buddhist readings on a particular theme, and then the Christians' readings I gave a short talk, about 5 minutes. He gave a short talk. There was music. There was chanting. It was interwoven with Buddhist Christian rituals and so forth. And we always had a good time. The congregation, of course, follows the lead of its leaders, its minister, and they were American Baptists in tradition. I had never known. I thought Baptist, when you hear the word Baptist, you think of maybe Southern Baptist. Now that's a different story. I didn't know there were different kinds of Baptists. An American Baptist are not the same as a conservative, narrow, dogmatic Southern Baptist. Okay. They did a lot of community work. They were very open in their membership. I think, in fact, in their bylaws, it states that to be a member of Lake Street Church, you don't even have to be a baptized Christian. That seems kind of unbelievable to me. Unbelievably liberal and open. Anyway, at this Living Buddha, Living Christ service, I told my go to hell advice, and I also one time talked about God, Buddhist view of God in terms of seeing, you know, if, because when it said, do Buddhists believe in God? Said, well, it all depends on what you mean by God. It's really a definitional matter, not a, you know, it's how we use words. And sometimes it's said that, well, for Buddhists, if God means truth, yeah, you know, but not as a supernatural being that created the world and judges humans and so forth. Some people might say, oh, it's sort of very Unitarian. And I suppose it is. I don't want to speak for Unitarians, but, you know, they sort of depersonalize the divine or the ultimate and don't see it as God, as a, you know, white-bearded man in the sky, but as truth. In addition to that, I think Buddhists, if we talk about the word God, concept of God, is more a verb than a noun. And I think that's a nice, you know, emphasis. Okay. And that maybe goes along with, in Christian theology, cutting edge or more liberal thing is called process theology. Talk about, you know, movement, creation, the verb, not the noun. And that's the same as for us, as the notion of self, or who am I? You know, we're always changing. We're dynamic. We have a name, so we think like we're a thing, but we're really a process in our reality. And all things are, too, even solid objects. Full of moving molecules, and you know, it's not static, unchanging entity per se. And another aspect, I think, is in Christianity they emphasize the communion or relationship, a special relationship between a person and God, or, you know, God manifests himself or herself in things of this world that he breathed life into and that he created and so forth. So, as a Christian, they might see God, oh, is in the clouds, is in nature, is in the trees. God is there and, you know, and so forth. Whereas I think for a Buddhist, it's not the relationship, but more of an identity. If you used the word God, maybe their interpretation would be that nature is God. God is nature. God is that tree. God is that person, that river, that cloud, you know, not is in it, but is it. So not relational, but identity. And I think this kind of emphasis is characteristic of Christian mystics. And in D.T. Suzuki's writings, he talks about the Christian mystics. Their expression and interpretation of the divine, of God, you know, is very close to, I think, Buddhist views of ultimate reality. And they talk about Meister Eckhart, Christian mystic, who says that, oh, the eye with which God sees you and the eye with which you see God is the same eye. You know, that kind of opens up a whole different way of looking at ultimate reality, the divine, and so forth. And there's a Buddhist Christian society that has been formed within the last 10 years. They host a Buddhist Christian conference internationally, I think every 2 years, and it's held in different places. And this is primarily open to everyone, but it's primarily hosted where papers are delivered by leading scholars, theologians, on Christians and Buddhists. They put out a journal and so forth. And in one of the, you know, the ideas is, I learned a new word a few years back, kenosis. K-E-N-O-S-I-S, kenosis. And if you look it up in a dictionary, I guess it means emptying. So they talk about God emptying himself of himself. Wow. That's, you know, God empties himself of himself or herself. You know, God just is. Okay. This is very non-dualistic. He doesn't separate himself from the world. And he's not just in the world. He is the world. He is reality. That's what this means. And so, Meister Eckhart would tell Christians, the message is, empty yourself of God. Because if you have a special, you have a special relationship with God, you feel, oh, I love God. I love God so much, I'm going to dedicate my whole life to God. You're still separated from Him. You self-separate yourself from Him. Subject-object. You and He are two things. You know, there's no oneness there. You know, it's sort of like, then I give this example of, domestic example of a man and a wife, husband and a wife. If the husband's still saying, I love my wife. Hey, I really love my wife, man. You got to tell everybody. You got to tell her all the time, I love you. But if he says that all the time, don't you think she's going to get suspicious after a while? She says, I know you love me. You always have to tell everybody. You got something going on the side? Real love is identity, isn't it? And in fact, I know some Christian ministers who told me that for them, sin, the definition of sin is separation from God. Not the moral sense of sin, but sin, the basic sin, or even the original sin and on, is separation from God. When you're alienated from God. You and God, there's a line there. And your language and your thinking helps put that line there. Even when you say, I love God, you're thinking about God too much as an object. as noun. Okay. So my Zechariah says, hey, empty yourself of God so that God has more room to work in you. Hey. That's a little different take, you know. Wow. So I guess, see, so for good Christians, again, for good Christians, my advice is forget about God. So in this Living Buddha, Living Christ service, we have a lot of fun. I said, Reverend Bob Thompson and I always have a good time laughing and everything. I tell this congregation, get up and give a short message, and I say, geez, last time I told you to go to hell, you still invited me back. Now I'm telling you to forget about God, and you're still inviting me back to participate in this service, you know. And we laugh and have a good time. So this is some real interfaith things that I've experienced, and that is all for today's broadcast. Again, I put my hands together in oneness and thank all of you for joining us today. So have a beautiful day.